support to my first team. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe let us record apologies of the minister or the deputy for the department. I know that it's kept in a day, but maybe for the record it's important to record their apologies.
Yes, we would like to tender the apology on behalf of the minister and the deputy. The chair has already indicated that there are other responsibilities that I have to do today. Thank you very much. I'm not going to talk to the table of contents. I will go straight to the mandate of the Department of Arts and Culture, where we derive our mandate from the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The number of issues that are relevant in the Constitution that pertain to the work of the Department of Arts and Culture, for instance, freedom of expression, freedom of artistic creativity, freedom to receive or impart information or ideas, and academic freedom and freedom of scientific research. Issues of language and culture are also embossed in the Constitution. Access to information, issues of quality and human dignity. But also we derive our mandate from policy frameworks, including national policy frameworks that impact on the sector, those for planning, monitoring, evaluation and reporting. The legislative mandate, which is also the fiscal and governance legislation, as well as acts that govern the preservation, promotion, and protection of art, culture, heritage, and language. We've got a number of those acts that are just about there. So we derive our mandate from that as well. Now the question here now is, what's the vision of the Department of Arts and Culture? The Department of Arts and Culture wants to be a dynamic, vibrant, and transformed art, culture, and heritage sector, leading nation building to social cohesion and socio-economic inclusion. Our mission is to create an enabling environment in which the arts, culture, and heritage sector can flourish and play a significant role in nation building socio-economic development by doing the following: preserving, protecting, and promoting cultural heritage and linguistic diversity of South Africa, leading nation building and societal transformation through social cohesion, enhancing record management structures and systems, and promoting access to information, providing leadership to arts, culture, heritage sectors, as well as accelerating transformation. What values are we aspiring to as the Department of Arts and Culture? We aspire to have values as patriotism, ubuntu, innovation, integrity, professionalism, accountability. Then the strategic outcome-oriented goals. A transformed, coherent, and development-focused arts, culture, and heritage sector. Here, we want to drive greater policy and plan coherence in the sector towards achieving sectoral development outcomes. Mission building through effective social cohesion program implementation. Here, we want to lead mission building societal transformation through effective social cohesion programs that promote cultural and linguistic diversity. A productive, diverse, and inclusive arts, culture, and heritage sector. Here we want to protect, preserve, promote, and develop arts, culture, and heritage, and advance socioeconomic inclusivity and contribution of the sector. With regard to sound governance and fiscal management system, we want to forge sound governance and fiscal management policies, systems, and processes that enhance the capacity of the Department of Arts and Culture and its entities to ensure the effective and sufficient utilization and leveraging arts, culture, and heritage resources for the benefit of all South Africans. A professional and capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector. Here we want to build the skills and capacity of the sector to ensure its ongoing development and responsiveness. Thank you. It's fine. Alignment with the medium-term strategic framework. Our 2015-19 strategic plan and the 2015-16 annual performance plan are in line with the 2014-19 MTSF. The department is leading, managing, and coordinating outcome 14, which is about a diverse, socially cohesive society with a common national identity. And also we are nominated secretariat for outcome 14. The department also contributes to the following outcomes: where we are not necessarily leading, but we do contribute, improve quality of basic education, decent employment through inclusive economic growth, a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, vibrant, equitable and sustainable rural communities with food security for all. Let me just underscore this chart again. That element of food security, we are not directly involved, but I think it's very important to indicate that you are involved in rural development, technology through infrastructure that is set up in rural areas in the form of libraries, in the form of community art centers. And create a better South Africa and contribute to a better Africa and a better world. Now the performance delivery environment is very important here because we are in the context where there are economic challenges that South Africa faces, which also causes resource constraints, with challenges which is about growing youth unemployment. And the policy imperatives including the prioritization of youth, women and people with disabilities, the embedding of the agenda for radical socio-economic transformation and promoting interracial and intercultural platforms and programs. This is what we need to do, also given the fact that we have seen the recent surge of racism. We don't think this was something for January, but it seems to be continuing unabated. And it becomes very much important that this department coordinates the input from various sectors of the society, the inputs that are driving towards creating a good environment for our society. The perceived lack of transfer of patriotism among young people and the need to engage them on patriotism, shared values, and nation building. And I think that we need to begin to look at what's happening around the country with regards to what's happening in the schools, the destructions of infrastructure. It begins to pose very big challenges about our patriotic values, whether we do subscribe to patriotic values, because even though we might be having problems and challenges and concerns, but resorting to this kind of violence that we're seeing in our society is not a way to go. It just points to a bigger problem that we need to deal with. And then, of course, we are looking at the minister's 10 priorities, things that the minister has said that we want us to focus on, and the entire sector must focus on. Nation building and social cohesion and dealing with the challenges of racism. Also, the issue of focusing on Africa, focusing on the continent, is one of the things that the minister has asked us to work on. In fact, we currently celebrating Africa Month, which we started on the 5th of, I mean, on the 3rd of this month. And yesterday also we had an Africa Month activation here in Cape Town. The Liberation Heritage Route infrastructure, including the National Heroes ETA project, promotion of all languages and improving the functioning of the Pan South, ensuring that the Mzansi Golden Economy benefits the previously disadvantaged artists, the Community Libraries Development Program, Community Arts Development Program, DAC Schools Program, which is about the hosting of flags, but also the issue of the national anthem as well as the AU anthem, improving reporting and compliance, skills on to inform capacity development program for the AC. Organizational environment, the following critical issues raised by the Select Committee on Education and Recreation, the Portfolio Committee and the Audit and Risk Committee are part of the organizational environment and will be getting full attention going forward. These are issues that when from time to time we engage with the Select Committee, would also raise the Audit Committee, the Portfolio Committee, and we will be sort of looking at that. Improved and better resource allocation for redress of past imbalances, empowering previously disadvantaged arts and cultural practitioners, strengthening and improving oversight, monitoring and evaluation of all the AC's public entities, addressing under-expenditure in key areas, including the community libraries, conditional grant, and the capital work program. And I think that these are the things also that have been raised here, not necessarily with regards to the conditional grant, but also with regards to legacy projects, the kind of infrastructure projects that we're doing. Ensuring that the department's ACP adheres to SMART principle, aligning and integrating risk assessment into planning framework and process. Now, I'm not going to get into the detail here, Chairperson. This is an overview of the 2016-27 budget and MTF estimates. Infrastructure and other capital plans, I mean, that's the budget allocated to that. But maybe let me just go to now expenditure and strategic outcome-oriented goals. Goal 1, which is about the transformed, coherent, and development focus sector. Looking at the revised white paper on arts, culture, and heritage. We're looking at the finalization of the process to revise the arts, culture, and heritage white paper. Currently, Chairperson, we are doing the subsector consultations. And then towards the end of this month, we'll be having draft a white paper resulting from those consultations. The AC evaluation plan, evaluation to assess the impact of key projects, programs that have been implemented. Intergovernmental coordination, strengthening TIC, which is the Technical Intergovernmental Committee, and MINMEF forums and vehicles to drive a shared and common vision and strategic priority for the sector. But also, Chairperson, this is very important that this meeting also help to eradicate any forms of duplication, because we cannot afford duplication in the context of shrinking resources. Goal 2, nation building, 3, effective social cohesion program implementation. Here we have an envisaged national convention for social compact, where we have put 18 million, which has been allocated for the build-up activities and hosting of national convention, what a social compact in October, November 2016. We started the activities in January, Chair President, Honourable Members, Minister coordinating various sectors of our society to come up with ideas and plans in terms of how we can we have a cohesive society. So the particular national convention for social compact is designed to ensure that we are speaking in one voice about the South Africa we want. And moral regeneration movement and social cohesion advocates program. 4 million rand has been allocated to supporting MRM and social cohesion advocates program. African continent, an estimated budget of 41 million has been allocated to increase focus on African continent to promote regional integration. Preservation and promotion of legacy projects, 20.9 million has been allocated to continue the implementation of legacy projects. Museum program, which is more for the maintenance of our infrastructure in museums, 140.5 million has been allocated to maintain that heritage infrastructure. Coming to a productive, diverse, and inclusive arts, culture, and heritage sector. Now here, looking at the market access programs, 246 million continue to be invested in invaluable economy market access programs, including cultural events, touring ventures, and cultural services program. Then the incubator projects, 20.5 million will be invested in incubator projects across the country. The community arts, 35.9 million will be invested in community arts, focusing on programming, infrastructure refurbishment, and new infrastructure development. Community libraries, 1.3 billion is allocated for library infrastructure, ICT connectivity, staffing, programs, and library material. Looking at the sound governance, modernized systems and processes, and a sustainable arts, culture, and heritage sector, business continuity plans. 16.5 million is required for these activities over the next 3 years. The National Automated Archival Information Retrieval System, 3.5 million has been allocated for the second phase of upgrading of NERS. And then the Group Governance and Strengthening Oversight, 3.9 million has been allocated for promoting corporate governance in all DAC public entities. This is aimed at improving oversight, monitoring, and evaluation of the public entities. And this is very much important, Chairperson, given the fact that the large portion of the departmental budget actually goes to institutions. Very little actually remains in the department. So as implementing agencies, it's very important that we have to have very strong oversight so that they deliver on the mandate of government. Professional and capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector. Looking at organizational restructuring, I think I need to mention here the reduction of 18.2 million in the employee compensation budget for 2017-2018 and 30.2 million for 2018-2019 will have a significant impact on the DAC's ability to deliver on its mandate. We would need to look at this quite carefully. In fact, we have even written to the Treasury to say if they can have a relook at this matter, because it would mean that we need to be careful in terms of employment going forward. Because if that is part are anything to go by 2017, 2018, and 2018 and 2019, then we'll be affected adversely. The basic skills audit, 2.4 million has been budgeted for the skills audit, which is also increased training. The National Academy for Creative Industries of South Africa, the revised concept for NACISA, have created a programmatic focus on skills with an investment of over 30 million, including the incubators in the 2016-2017 financial year. Language and heritage bursary, 11 million for formal education in the language and heritage profession through a major bursary program, various universities around the country will continue to be supported. And coming to the alignment between goals and objectives. Now, in terms of a transformed, coherent and development focus, agriculture and heritage sector. Here, the strategic objectives will be to drive integrated and joint outcome-based planning, monitoring and evaluation across the sector, facilitate and enabling responsive and coherent policy, legislative and regulatory environment for agriculture and heritage sector locally and internationally, to document South Africa's oral traditions, promote respect for oral knowledge and histories, and promote the culture of reading and writing across society. In terms of strategic outcome-oriented goals, nation building through effective social cohesion program implementation. Here, the objective is to intensify the contribution to and coordination of nation building and social cohesion, to promote national symbols and constitutional values in schools through provision of national symbols at toolkits, to support efforts to forge a common national identity and actively drive the transformation of society. With regards to a productive, diverse, and inclusive agriculture and heritage sector, here we're looking at opening markets and access and maintaining a positive image and good relations for agriculture, heritage, and language locally, continentally, regionally, and internationally. Develop, promote, and maintain multilingual infrastructure and technologies that promote access to and increase participation in agriculture at local, continental, regional, and international level. To promote the use of official languages, promote a culture of reading and writing across society and promote respect for oral knowledge and history. To ensure development and maintenance of agriculture heritage infrastructure that can support local, regional, national, international agriculture heritage offerings as well as increased participation and access. In terms of sound governance, fiscal management system, to ensure compliance and sound governance, drive sound financial management and controls across the sector, strengthen and enhance internal process flows and systems to implement sound governance in every delivery of the DAC mandate, strengthen and modernize records management and archives management systems in the country. In terms of professional and capacitated sector, build human resource capacity and promote culture of high performance, increase and sustain number of agriculture and heritage practitioners, and pool of human resource capacity required by the sector. Because only sectors that have the trained their personnel are able to sustain those sectors. Going now to program by program, Chairperson, I'll start by looking at program one. Here, program one, in terms of strategic objective, that is about the driving an integrated and joint outcomes-based planning, monitoring, and evaluation across the sector. The transparent indicator here will be number of intergovernmental relations forums conducted to drive a shared common vision and strategic priorities for the arts, culture, and heritage sector. We're looking here in terms of targets. 8 of those meetings will be conducted 2016-2017. The DAC sector-wide strategic planning process, which is not just about the planning as pertaining to the department, but also looking at the entities, looking at the provinces. We're looking at that happening between 2017 and 2018. Then looking at the strategic objective, which is about the intensification or intensifying the contribution to and coordination of nation building and social cohesion. We're looking at number of Imbizo public participation programs held. And for 2016-2017, we're looking at about 20 Imbizo or public participation platforms across the country. They're looking at facilitating or to facilitate enabling and coherent policy, legislative and regulatory environment for agriculture and heritage. The revised white paper on agriculture submitted to cabinet for approval. That's going to be our performance indicator. It will be revised white paper on agriculture submitted to cabinet, because we are looking at them August this year. To ensure compliance and sound governance, performance indicator here is going to be clean audit outcome for previous financial year. Percentage of management performance assessment tool, key result areas measured at level B and above. Of course, target here is clean audit outcome, and then 50% impact key result areas measured at level D or above for the 2016-2017. And then to strengthen and enhance internal process flows and systems. Approved integrated enterprise-wide ICT architecture plan scheduled for implementation. So the target would be approved integrated enterprise-wide ICT architecture plan scheduled for implementation. In terms of driving sound financial management and controls across the sector, looking at the performance indicator here will be a percentage of total value of procurement awarded to BEE compliance service providers. So our target would be more than 70% awarded to BEE compliance service providers. Also here, percentage of payments made within 30 days where requisite supporting documents exist. 100% of payments, that's our target, made within 30 days. And I want to score, that's why that is in private brackets, Chairperson, to say where recruitment supporting documents exist, because at times we don't look at the fact that there may some delays emanate from the fact that the documentation has been provided and adequate, so it becomes very much difficult to process those payments. Percentage spending of the annual budget, our target is to spend the entire budget, which is 100% spending of annual budget. To build human resource capacity and promote culture of high performance, maintain the vacancy rate in DAC at less than at least 10%. Vacancy rate maintained at less than 10%, that's our target. Number of interns as percentage of DAC staff complement, at least 5% of DAC staff complement. Number of training interventions implemented, we are looking at 500 training interventions implemented. And I'm asking Chairperson, we are saying that because we have about 500 staff members. So all of us are supposed to undergo training, because nobody can claim to have reached the perfection, the state of perfection. So it's very important that all of us, in one way or the other, go through training. The percentage of women employed at senior management level, our target is women represent, it's a state where women will be representing 50% employees at SMS level. We still afford that opportunity given the fact that we will be filling other posts at the senior management level in the department very soon. Percentage of staff complement that are people living with disabilities. People with disabilities represent 3% of the staff complement. That's where we would want to be in this financial year. Going to program two, Jefferson. Strategic objective, which is about to facilitate or about facilitating and enabling responsive and coherent policy, legislative, and regulatory environment for the agriculture and heritage sector, locally and internationally. Here, the performance indicator will be a number of joint programs implemented with intergovernmental stakeholders. Here, we're looking at the target of two social development programs implemented in collaboration with intergovernmental relations partners. Two youth development programs implemented in collaboration also with NGR partners supported. To intensify the contribution and coordination of outcome policy towards transforming South Africa into a multilingual, non-racial, prosperous and non-sexual society. Number of targeted engagements and dialogues hosted with stakeholders and society hosted. Now we are looking at the target of 33 community consultations held, minimum of 3 per province. 4 youth dialogues held, 10 social cohesion advocate platforms implemented, 1 platform held at least in each province, and then of course social compact convention, which we indicated that we are looking at October, November. number of national and historic days celebrated, 6 national days and 1 historic day program implemented. These are spread across provinces on a rotational basis, chairperson. Number 14, outcome 14 reports produced for cabinet. 4 of outcome 14 reports for cabinet produced because we report on a quarterly basis. Now, going to the opening market access and maintaining a positive image and good relations for arts, culture, and heritage locally, continentally, regionally, and internationally. Number of government interventions implemented, that's the performance indicator. And then 100% of cadres for public entity fully constituted. That's our target, so that we don't have a situation where there are no cadres. Program C, chairperson. Selective objective is about facilitating, enabling, responsive and coherent policy, legislative and regulatory environment for arts, culture and heritage sectors. Here we are looking at the performance indicator, number of programs implemented with intergovernmental stakeholders. Financial support here will be our output target. Financial support provided to three economic development programs implemented in collaboration with intergovernmental relations partners. We're looking at the number of research reports produced and disseminated. The target here is 20 research reports in support of 5-year research agenda produced by cultural observatory disseminated to sector and DAC. Number of sectoral programs supported. Here we're looking at the target, which is about financial support provided to 5 programs aligned to sector strategies offered by sectoral organizations. Now coming to the strategic objective that talks about intensifying contribution to and coordination of outcome 14 towards transforming South Africa into a multiracial, non-racial, prosperous and non-obstructive society. Here we are looking at number of targeted engagements hosted, 12 set engagements held to consult with and provide information to specific sectors. Number of programs aligned to the national base supported. 6 national day build-up programs will be supported by this particular branch. Number of programs promoting living heritage and oral history supported. The Living Legend Legacy Project will be supported. And then the number of domains in which terminologies are developed. Here we are talking about terminology, language terminology. Terminology is developed in 4 domains. That is information communication technology, which is ICT, human social, economic and management sciences, financial and pharmaceutical terminologies. So this is the work, Chairperson and honorable members, this is done by the department in ensuring that we develop our language so that they also can become the language of science, not just the languages that will end in just the, you know, when we speak at homes. But it must also be a language of science. You must be able to theorize science. You must be able to theorize histories and all other academic areas of life. Number of human language technologies projects, I skipped the percentage of documents received and accepted, translated, or edited. 100% translation and editing services of official documentation in official and foreign languages offered to national government departments, public entities, and public enterprises. So this is about ensuring that the documents are translated into other languages, indigenous languages. A number of human language technologies projects supported, financial support provided to human language technologies projects, facilitation of implementation of use of official languages, and annual report produced on implementation of the Act. Continuing with Program 3, to promote and develop the cultural and creative industries. Number of individuals provided with work opportunities in public employment programs. Here our target is 15,000 individuals provided with temporary work opportunities. Number of programs to support market access to cultural events, local and international platforms and tourism ventures implemented per annum. The target here is 25 national and regional features supported, 10 local and international platforms supported, 40 foreign ventures supported. Then also going back to the number of artists based in schools, the number of schools where the artists in school program is implemented. 340 based in schools, artists placed in schools that featured across all provinces to support educators in the delivery of arts curriculum. 300 schools participating in arts in schools program. Number of public art projects supported. Number of programs, 20 public art projects supported financially. Number of programs supported to support local content. 150 community art programs supported. One film documentary on struggling heroes supported. 12 incubator programs supported. Then coming now to the area where we talk about developing, promoting, and maintaining multilingual infrastructure and technology that promote access and increase participation in arts culture at local, continental, regional, and international level. Here we are looking at 15 community art centers refurbished, and I think that's very much important, Chairperson, because these are community art centers that are spread all over the country, more particularly also in the rural areas where you do not have art culture infrastructure. So it's very important that we refurbish them, but not only refurbish them, program them so that there are programs that are happening in that particular space. So the panel is scheduled to sit on 17th May to review proposals received from community art centers for the 2016-2017 financial year. Now, coming to increasing and sustaining the number of arts culture and heritage practitioners and the pool of human resource capacity required by the sector, number of bursaries awarded towards development of qualified language practitioners, we are looking at 320 language bursaries awarded. We're working with universities, and we're looking at UNISA, Northwest University, Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, University of the Western Cape. Limpopo, yes. Then the percentage increase in number of people are accessing training and development initiatives, including incubators. 5% increase on 2015-2016 baseline in number of beneficiaries of training and development initiatives. Number of enterprises supported through incubation program. We're looking at 40 enterprises supported through incubation programs. Number of programs targeting rural communities. 2 programs supported linked to Khoisan Heritage Route and Labashin Heritage Route. Now, this is the last program at Jefferson, Program 4. Also, with regards to strategic objective that has to do with facilitating and enabling coherent policy, legislative, and regulatory environment. Here we are looking at the number of policies and legislative frameworks submitted to Cabinet for approval. The target for this financial year is 1 policy and 1 legislative framework submitted to Cabinet for approval. That is museums policy, and then the South African Public Library and Information Services Bill, which, of course, the bill has been costed as well. To support efforts to forge a common national identity and actively drive the transformation of society, number of gazette publications per annum as part of geographical names plan. This is about the transformation of our naming landscape. We are looking at 3 publications this financial year. Number of national and international archives awareness program, 4 national and international archives awareness program. In fact, this week, in fact, it's Archives Week. So, Annual Archives Week, International Archives Day, International Audiovisual Day, Friends of the Archives Seminar. To promote national symbols and constitutional values in schools, number of schools receive national symbols school kit. 6,410 schools will receive national symbols toolkit this financial year. Number of handheld flags distributed, we're looking at 100,000 flags. Number of handheld flags. Number of schools and early childhood development centers receiving flags and flagpoles, we're looking at 500 AU flag installations. But also this year we're looking at the project evaluation of South African flag installations, because we've been doing this work for a very long time. But I think it's opportune time now to go back and see how this has happened, whether the flags that have been installed are still in good condition, and all those, the flag poles are still in good condition. documents, to document South Africa's oral traditions, promote respect for oral knowledge and histories, and promote the culture of reading and writing across society. Number of library materials are provided. We try to break this thing down here at Jefferson, that we'll be looking at 210,000 materials. And the Eastern Cape was 50,000, Free State 50,000, Gauteng Province 80,000, KZN 76,000, Limpopo 29,000, Mpumalanga 35,000, Northern Cape 40,000, Northwest 40,000, and Western Cape 10,000. But also looking at a number of living human treasures identified and documented. 9 living human treasures identified and documented. And we want to do this chapter because it's a very sensitive area, given the fact that when we talk about living human treasures, we're talking about people who are also old, and they will soon be exiting, and we want to ensure that the knowledge that they have gets recorded, but also keep the record of them for posterity. Then to promote use of official languages, promote the culture of reading and writing across society, and promote respect for oral knowledge and histories. Number of oral history interventions. We do this also to ensure that we gather knowledge which resides amongst our communities in rural areas, peri-urban areas, and urban areas. Three oral history interventions, oral history conference, training of learners in oral history methodology, an oral history project. This is also Jefferson, and we try to make it as meaningful as possible. Also, to ensure that children at an early age, they are being trained in terms of how they should now record these oral histories. They grow with this kind of knowledge and expertise. To ensure development and maintenance of agriculture and heritage infrastructure that can support local, regional, national, and international agriculture offerings, as well as increased participation in and access to agriculture and heritage. Number of infrastructure projects implemented. We're looking at 4 infrastructure projects implemented, 3 heritage and 1 archives. Looking at Sarabashma National Monument and Winnie Mandela and Ashbeck project. 6 heritage infrastructure projects conceptualized and initiated. Looking at Enyogeni, J.L. Dube, Kumete, Sandwane, Tambo, and Hero Egg. The Liberation Heritage Route online map application created and updated annually. Target here is the Liberation Heritage Route online map application plotted and report developed. Number of community libraries built. We are looking at 29 libraries in the current financial year, and a breakdown is there, Chairperson. But also we're looking at the number of libraries upgraded and maintained, because there are those libraries that need to just be refurbished. So we're looking at 55 libraries, and the breakdown is there per province, Chairperson. Then going to the strengthening and modernizing records management and archives management systems. Number of projects implemented. Here we are looking at 3 projects implemented. The second phase for the NERS website, second phase of Rivonia Trial Digital Belt, and first phase of Lokomotifane papers. Number of accepted disposal authorities issued. We're looking at 12 disposal authorities. Number of records management and archive management interventions implemented. We're looking at 2 interventions, 12 record management inspections, 1 record management training program. Number of accepted file plans evaluated and approved. We're looking at 8 file plans. Then, with regard to increasing and sustaining the number of agriculture and heritage practitioners and the pool of human resource capacity required, we look at number of bursaries awarded to heritage students. Our target is 65 bursaries awarded. A call for applications advertised in national and regional media and bursary and financial aid offices. Areas of study include anthropology, archaeology, ethnology, IKS, museums and archives, conservation and restoration studies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We've come to the end of the briefing. Let me hand over to all our members to begin to engage the briefing. Honorable Damien, Honorable Pambos Bowen, Honorable Spook.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, let me welcome the presentation from the department. I want to start with, I'm sure I'm asking for the third time now, the Khoisan Monument is still there. Is it budgeted now, because we're talking about the budget? Is it budgeted? It's something that we raised after taking Parliament to Eden District. If it is not there, I will suggest that they must try their best to accommodate it before we go to the House and finalize this budget. It's a very sensitive issue when you get to those people. The second matter, nation building. I hear that there will be a number of aids in Bezo and build up towards something national. To what extent are you working with Department of Social Development? They also have now something about nation building. What is it that you are doing, and what are they doing different from what you are doing? A collaboration between the two departments. Moral regeneration. We do have it in my province, but I'm not sure if I know what they are doing. I'm also looking at the budget attached to that program. In the past, we used to have every year the crossover event. But now they don't have budget to do that. I'm looking at the budget attached to that. It's an important fashion. 4 million national budget. I'm not sure whether it will be able to assist. Whether that 4 million is only for the provincial budget, even if it was for the provincial, for the national budget, even if it was for the national budget, if you are to host a national event, 4 million will it be enough? Exactly what are you doing in that program? What is it that you'll be doing in that program? I might have missed it as you were presenting. The Upper Set Museum, I'm raising it for the second time now. Also, it was after the oversight we had the Pretoria. I'm talking about the Upper Set Museum, the Upper Set Museum. A lot of transformation there has been done. What we raised last time is that I don't think you are doing enough to talk about the things that are done there. Because if you talk to people about, is it Upper Set Museum?
Is it in Pretoria?
It's in Pretoria.
I was not part of the website, but I think it was in Pretoria.
It's in Pretoria. Mm. There's not a sense. It's a sense.
Oh,
I don't know. But
whatever the case is, but the Upper Set Museum. Mm. You are talking to the Upper Set Museum for no problem, isn't it? Not the Freedom Park.
Anglo-Poor.
Alright.
Where they have included a number of names, where there are so many dominions. Yeah. Where there are some... Okay. The other one, so many things, the statues, but there is another one that with the statues. I know it does not have friends. The request they made is that if we could please assist them to our department to give them, to assist them with fencing because of the transformation there, they are afraid that they could come in and destroy some of the things that they have done there. Is it considered? Confronting. Oh, my head is up by top. Okay, if we could please prioritize that. They also spoke about salaries that are not the same as compared to other museums. there's a history. Can that be sorted out? Because it does not make sense why a person from another museum is earning so much and the other one is earning something else. Because it's important for us as a committee, because when we go to this place, when we come, at least there must be a change. There must be a change. We can't just visit and come back, nothing happens. So would you please look into that? I'm impressed about your target on the clean audit. It's good to target the clean audit because that's what we need. We are looking forward to that. I'm not sure about your ICT system. What is the system going to be doing exactly? What will be the function of the system? Why that system? Because later I also saw you talking about some ICT things. Why is this one different from the other one that you are presenting late? Is there an interface between those systems? Because you'll find that the department has got so many systems that are not talking to each other. Why not upgrading this one to accommodate the function that you want to do later? It is own language, the other one, that you say, the second that I'm referring to. Why are you not using one system but upgrade it to accommodate the function that you want to do on language instead of having two systems or different systems? If they're different, is there an interface? Are they talking to each other? Those systems. National geographical names. I know that provinces and municipalities have to submit also from communities. But my concern, which I read last time, is that after names have been changed, they are not changed physically. Maybe they'll change on books or whatever, but physically they will change. I saw about Mbombela. Mbombela, where I'm coming from. Mbombela was changed from Nelspruit, but they're still using Nelspruit. At the airport in Joburg, there was a lady from the department who was supposed to follow it up. And still now, when you go there, you will see Nelspruit, Kruger. It's more confused. It was even better if they were saying Nelspruit alone. Nelspruit, Kruger, two different places. So can that be corrected? Because it's discouraging that people go to an extent of doing all the work they do and later nothing is seen physically changing. What is happening with the Lion of the East? It's related to one, I don't know whether it's documentary you spoke to earlier. Lion of the East, there was a very good project that was done in Mpumalanga, I don't know whether National, I think National was involved. It's about health Sibanze. What is happening with that project? And the school flags, I hear you saying that you're going to be reviewing it, a possibility of installing, because I know from my constituency office, I requested flags, but it has been very difficult to get hold of the person who was supposed to help. Can we still have those school flags? In fact, it was about 17, 18 schools. Thank you to me. Thank you, HHS. I had the flip as one of my points, but the previous speaker has covered it, so I'll just be echoing what she said. DG, you allow your vision of promoting multilingualism, language diversity, whichever way you're putting it. But I just want to raise a concern. When you went to Freedom Park in Pretoria, I just want to say for the blind, the braille language on the walls is not accommodated. We were advantaged because the mainstream, we don't have problems with reading whatever was written there, which is very good work that's been done. But the disability of the blind, specifically in terms of braille, is not accommodated, which does not bring equality as the constitution. It's singling out that disability sector. I must say, in terms of access, it is accommodated, but in terms of the blind,
and treating the brain as a language, it marginalizes them and it's not bringing equality. When we went to the Angkor Museum in Vrystaat, one of the concerns that was raised by the staff there in terms of staff complement was the diversity and gender in terms of employment. Once I understand it is predominantly Africans, it has to show other accommodation in terms of racial, the race across the board. On the staff accomplishment that is not accommodated, or maybe the people were not there, but it was raised also as a concern by the people working there. We also felt as a select committee that it was not marketed. Now, because we never knew about it, the Angkor Museum, and we felt we were told the free schools do go and visit, but maybe to extend the invite to other neighboring provinces for them to know, because it's carrying so much history that shapes the future of our country. So it can't just go and diminish in the dust and not be known about. Those has brought so much atrocities in the past, but to shape our future, we have to have the knowledge known by our youth as it is. Yeah, I thank you. Other facts have been covered by the previous speaker. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I've got just one issue that I want to raise, and I'm going to be very brief, Chairperson. In terms of Program 3, DG, which received the second largest allocation from your entire budget. Now, last year, when the department came before us, around the same process of APPs and budgets, votes and all of that, there was a slide that was presented to us. I don't know whether you still remember it. We were there, but we were not yet the acting DG, but we were there. You might have seen it as well. That slide dealt with the allocation for provinces specifically. Like, for example, if you say this is the budget for program 3, which deals with the promotion of languages, arts, and the development of arts in the different provinces. So I can still remember in that meeting, most of the members, we had a problem because there were serious inefficiencies or disparities in regard to our patients. Like, for an example, get one province, maybe getting from the allocation, getting maybe say 50% or 60% of the entire allocation. And then in that meeting, I still remember we raised the concern and said, no, can maybe the department look at that issue and try to create a balance for provinces? We know that those that are big that are already doing well, and those that are small that are still emerging. And the explanation we got at that time was that, no, those other provinces, because the department embarks on an extensive program of creating awareness and adverts and all of that, but it may be because of those provinces, they show a lack of interest or they don't apply or show interest and all of that. So we said maybe the department must work with, the national department must work with provinces to check. If an advert has been opened, they must also interact at the level of the MIMEC for those provinces to check if there are other applicants that might be have been submitted through the province and all of that. So I just want to find out from you, DG, is there an improvement in that regard and what is the approach? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I forgot one thing. The national event. I don't know. We raised it last time. There we to attend as a committee. And in the previous, with the previous experience, I felt it was like we're now begging from the department. What was it? It was the festival. No. It can't be like that. It can't be like that. We are the committee of this department. We should be treated the same way as portfolio committee. If you are going to give us tickets or invite us, let it be small. There shouldn't be a burden because we keep on asking now. are we getting tickets or not? Mm-hmm. It depends. I know it's not your officials before you, I mean below you, but can it be attended maybe at your office? Because now it depends on them. Okay, we'll see, whatever. But you find so many of their friends are there. All what I'm saying, man, can we be treated with the dignity it deserves? We don't want to be beggars. If it can't be given, let it be so clear. We know. We go and buy. But if we're invited or we're given, let it be given in advance so that we prepare. With this, first of all, I was told on my way already at the airport to go home because we're told there are no tickets. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you for raising the issues that you've raised, honorable members, but I just want to add my voice on the last issue that is being raised. Honorable Sami has to say that there are many, many activities by the Department of Arts and Culture, national events to which you should be invited as select committee members, but you don't get to be invited properly, you know. Maybe you'll be told a day before, or you are told, yes, you've got a ticket, but it's for you alone. And then you find it very difficult to accept the invitation. How can I leave kids at the end go to a chess festival and leave Zwane behind? I mean, another event. How does it come about? We've got spouses. We've got partners. They will not always be taken care of, but in some instances they can be accommodated. Like, you look at the nature of the activity and you see that this one will run, inviting an extra person. And they should be coming to us early enough for us to make up necessary arrangements. We are pleading for equal treatment with our counterparts in the NA in this regard. The issue that I wanted to raise on my part today, acting to see your person, what is the status of Intel as we speak? I know that they did an APP last time, they did submit an APP, but it was just settling. There are problems in that entity that we all know about, but I just want UDG formally to appraise them. To bring the committee in terms of what is the status of the NDC as you see it. And because it's a very important entity, but it seems to be riddled with numerous problems that we need to attend to. Whether we like it or not, we've got the responsibility in the department to ensure that it functions to the expectations in terms of its mandate. And then the other issue is that I noticed as I read your presentation, you have increased your budget for office accommodation by almost 41%. But the allocation for compensation of employees is decreasing. Who is going to be accommodated in these offices? What is the reason? Or are you buying property? You just explain to us as to what the situation is. Also, your capital works program has increased by almost 36%, and then your compensation for employees is decreasing by 8 million. It is a worry. I don't know if the committee is retrenching. We don't desire to see that at all. It needs to be attended to at the level of treasury. I suppose that we've got a total of 25,000 plus schools in the country, and I don't see the budget for flex continuing in the outer years. I don't know what the reason is. Are we good at schools that have flex and others not having flex? Because I understand that you cannot give them flex, we said, in all of them all at once, but it should be a program that is continuing up until it's finished. All the schools that we have, and plan together with the Department of Education to know how many schools they envisage will be built in a given financial year, and we make provisions and preparations for it. It is called for coordinated planning by various government departments. Again, the backlog in the delivery of public libraries, I think your president is going to be taking care of that. I think you did talk about that in your presentation as to say that you are going to try to see how you shall be the fund around to address that particular issue. Those will be the issues on my side. We will then give you an opportunity to respond. And your team, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. As always, Chairman, I normally leave the difficult ones to them. The difficult questions, they handle them. I take the least difficult. Thanks, thanks, Chair. Maybe let me start by the sole point that is the national events that the members have spoken about. We just want to really apologize because I know that at some point, and it was on the eve of the, I got an SMS from one of the colleagues here, and I know that it was not the best way of handling this, but as the executive management, we've just sat together immediately after this particular justice, we had to review because some of the colleagues who were able to attend, and unfortunately I was not able to attend, but they did. Most of the things that have been said by members are actually, yes, those were reported to me, and we sat down and we agreed that going forward, as executive management, we would have to have a hand on this matter, because we would know better all the strategic partners and stakeholders that we would like to prioritize, so that, as the colleague indicated, Chairperson, I would also not take one ticket and go to a just event and leave my partner, because what am I going to enjoy, you know, where I'm going alone. So we are looking at those things, Chairperson, and then we really want to assure you that we would really just deal with this matter at the most highest level and ensure that going forward it's more structured, it's properly structured. And also wouldn't want the select committee to get the sense that we are not respectful to the house. We do. Yeah, I just think that these are internal challenges that we just have to deal with in the department. Maybe just to come to the issues of, I'll just deal with some issues, and as I said, that other colleagues are going to deal with. The issue of the Khoisan Monument, I think it was raised before. That's the matter that is actually being handled by the provincial department, because it's not a monument which is actually being dealt nationally. But I just think that we need once again to just check with the province, because I beg your I'm saying that it would be, if it's in the Western Cape or Northern Cape, that would be the provincial department that we would have to find out, because we would know if there is any monument that the national department is. We know all the national monuments that we are dealing with. So in this case, it would mean that we need to work very closely with that particular province to find out what the issues are around the monument. If they need support, of course, we work with provinces. They can indicate to us if maybe we need to provide any kind of support. It could be support in terms of bringing people with expertise. We have got institutions like SARA that can assist if it's a question of expertise. But also, if it's financial, we can then begin to discuss what kind of financial resources are required. So we'll do that, Honorable Lamin. Then the issue of mission building, I would just request my colleague to deal with that, but maybe just go ahead to Apartheid Museum. The Apartheid Museum, just to say, it's a private museum. It's not a government museum. We know, though, as government, the work that they've done in terms of packaging story about apartheid, but it becomes very much difficult for government to then be the one that leads in the marketing of a private institution.
Maybe let us interject on this one. I think we made a mistake. We tended to confuse this museum. It should be the Anglo-Boer War Museum,
yes. Okay.
The one that's visited, not the apartheid one.
Okay. Mm. All right. No, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Yes. But with regards to the marketing of, I fully agree that our museums, I think we still have to do a lot of work in terms of marketing them. You know, some of them are lucky by virtue of their location and by virtue of their popularity, like Robben Island. But there are other museums in our country which are doing a lot of beautiful work which needs to be known by all South Africans. I mean, more particularly, if you look at the end of World War, they have just done some very good transformative project recently, where they began to retell the story of the what used to be known as the end of World War, to ensure that the narrative begins to say, indeed, this was a South African war. So even if you look at the Garden of Remembrance that they put together, and the list of names of women and children that perished during that war, it's a very transformative kind of... So I fully agree that there's a lot of work that we would have to do. Not just about the end of war, but all our museums. Maybe just coming up with a coin marketing strategy for our institutions so that they are known and the content of these particular institutions are. In terms of salaries, well, there are, of course, yes, discrepancies, but in this case, and I think all of which points to the point that we would need to try and work together with institutions in this particular area, Chairperson. Because the institutions have got a degree of autonomy. For instance, if you look at the council that I established, they have a degree of autonomy in terms of taking decisions with regard to salaries. And I think maybe it's one of the things that we just have to come closer to, so that we don't have what discrepancies in terms of salaries, where people are doing the same kind of work, but salaries are not the same. And I think that from the government's point of view, it's one of the areas that we would have to look at before it gets out of hand. And it causes problems. The ICT system, there is one ICT system, or maybe if we can say for the Department of Arts and Culture, there is one ICT system that we are talking about. But maybe the issue that Honorable Dlamini is on the slide when I was talking about the terminologies which have been developed in four domains. This part, Honorable Dlamini. Well, here we were talking about just terminologies that are being developed by the language unit. So they are beginning to develop terms. For instance, in the area of pharmaceutical, you have terms in African languages. And ICT, you also have got terms to name things that are ICT related. So it's not like we are having... Because the idea is, if you were to look at Africa, why it got developed to the state where it is, it's because there was a lot of investment in terms of developing terminologies. And that's why today you would go to universities and study science, mathematics in Africa, commerce in Africa. So the idea here is to ensure that we start developing this terminology so that one day one would be able to do science in an indigenous language, because it's been proven that the reason why so many of us as Africans sometimes fail is because of our connection to the content, because it's being imparted to us in foreign languages, and yet we do have our own mother tongue language. So the idea here is to re-promote multilingualism, not just from the point of view of saying just translate documents for information purposes into isiZulu or isiXhosa, but then begin to develop, produce knowledge using indigenous languages. So that's the idea, that's the point that one was trying to point out here. But I'm just trying to respond to that question, that it was not many ICTs, just one ICT for the department, which of course we are talking about trying to upgrade it currently with serious problems, because our system is a bit old, and we were planning to move to a new building, but there are matters that we are still wanting to resolve because of some of the challenges that we've picked up in the process. So that particular process is on hold. Then coming to the geographical names, it's true, Honorable Dlamini, we used to have a very good working relationship with Transport, and I think that's what we want to do even now, because what the manner in which the South African Geographical Names Council Act is structured, it makes provisions for some coordinate departments to participate. Say, for instance, the Ministry of Water Affairs, Water and Sanitation, because they're also responsible for dams and rivers, to be represented. Transport, to be represented, because they have to change their roads and airports. They need to be part of that so that they then become champions in terms of ensuring that once the airport, for instance, has been changed, like your Prafisa Airport in Bloemfontein, the fact that now we've got Mobella, that they become champions and ensure that that gets implemented. We also have mapping and surveys, which is now GRLV, located there. Very much important because they also deal with cartography. Maps. The reason why, in terms of the law, they are even stated in the law, is because of the understanding that by them being there, they will immediately assist in terms of ensuring that once a name has been changed and standardized, they will ensure that the cartographers implement this and it goes to the maps. Because you need to have now maps that are transformed, that are actually reflective of the current reality. So those are the things that we will just follow up on that, Honorable Dlamini. I think you just touched on a very important point, which I think we are beginning to leave behind now. The issue of the Lion of the East, I think that was that's a project that was mainly driven by Mpumalanga Provincial Department. But we are aware of a new request that has actually that we're looking at, Honorable, which is about repatriation of usernames from Swaziland. And that's one area that we're reflecting upon, just to see how that can then be attended to. And we will, of course, in terms of our own colleagues who work with FACTS in every school, also direct them to be responsive, more particularly if there's a request from members to go and maybe install flags, because we do have people who are actually assisting us with the installation of flags in different provinces. I can agree more. Look, I must just say that here it would be a work in progress, Honorable Pamela. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, my apology. The brain, you know, it's work in progress, because, yes, that's an area that we need to attend to. And I'm glad that you have acknowledged that first and foremost we are ensuring that all our ones should be set up, just in terms of access, you know, physical access. We are on top of things there. But I fully agree, Honorable Member, that I think we need to go further than that and ensure that the braille production is done so that people with impaired vision, they are able to also participate and enjoy the experience within these museums by accessing the knowledge around that. I think that we will have to look also at the issue of diversity and gender in terms of, and of course, the staff complement within the, I think that needs to be brought to the attention of the board and the management to really just ensure that they change the complexion of the staff in these institutions. In terms of the slide allocation to provinces, my colleague will talk to in a much more deeper way, but just to say that, as we did indicate previously, that it actually pains us that you always have how data is leading, that every time. And I've seen the recent projects that have just recently been approved. As I was looking at it doesn't seem to be changing. But I must say also, Honorable Member, that this is the matter that we discuss with our provincial counterparts at technical and governmental policy meetings, TIDs. And these matters are even taken to MINMEX because of our resolve to ensure that they also mobilize communities at provincial and local levels to participate in this, so that you do not have this skewed arrangement where always Gauteng, I mean, now you can even say it's Gauteng, KZN, it was Western Cape, and then the rest would then just be following, and some of them really, I mean, just one project, a province, and yet there are opportunities that could be accessed by everyone. In the country. But my colleague might just want to talk to that. With regards to PENSAL, as you would remember, Honorable Chairperson, that this was dissolved, I think early January. Now, the idea was that we would then immediately call for nominations so that all the process, two processes are followed, which will culminate in the appointment of a new board. Unfortunately, the outgoing board is actually challenging the minister in court. Now, which means is that we can't go ahead with the call for nomination, because it would be meaning that we are undermining the processes, the proceedings that are happening currently. What the minister is in the process of doing is just to put together an advisory body, which doesn't have any legal standing, just to assist him in just thinking through all the challenges that are within PENSAL, but also the same body to work very closely with the CEO so that they are able to manage some of these problems. Because you would recall, Chairperson, that the reason why we are where we are partly is because of that particular time where there was no board and the CEO was a board, and some decisions that were taken that are holding us today, so we're trying to avoid that situation. That's why health advisory body that would be also assisting the CEO and also assisting the minister to see how we can resolve most of the issues. The coordination between the Department of Arts and Culture and Education, it's something that is happening but not satisfactorily, I must say. Because if we were to have that particular coordination, would do better, because we are like providing service in a way to education. So it's very important that there's active participation, but also if there's active participation from both sides, it would be easy for us to even be directed by the Department of Education in terms of saying, you know, that school, this school, this school. In fact, that's where we were actually asking at some stage that it would be good for education department to also assist in the Department of Arts and Culture. Here is our school list, and this is where they're located. Here are schools that have got flags. Here are schools that do not have flags. In that way, we are able to then know exactly where to go in terms of, you know, so that there are no duplications. So that's the kind of discussion that we would want to take further with the Department of Education, so as to ensure that our approach is very comprehensive and very coordinated. There was an indication when the chairperson spoke about an observation in terms of the increasing budget of the accommodation. Maybe the CFO might just want to speak to that, because I suspect it could be the reason that we, at some point we were supposed to relocate, move to the building, to the new building. But I would leave it to the CFO to maybe talk to it intelligently. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'll talk to office accommodation and the other two items which are budget related, and then to Honorable Chair and members. As the department was planning to move to a new building in Pretoria, and as a result, the new building was a little bit costly, it was even bigger than the actual space that we are occupying. And as a result of that, when we were doing the E&E, we had to build in the new rentals to the new building. Of course, it's inverse to what we are seeing in terms of compensation to employees, because that budget cut was a unilateral division by Treasury to say the department will, it was a forced reduction of 18 million in the year 8 million 19 and another 42 million in the outer year. And that was a decision of Treasury, that's not to our own making. I think the ABG in his presentation, he already said that we did raise a concern and wrote a letter to National Treasury showing them that that budget reduction is going to impact on our service delivery abilities. Because what it therefore means is it means in the outer years we will not be able to retain the current staff that we have because we will not be able to pay. So it's a matter that the department, we are still engaging with National Treasury to address that shortcoming. In regards to the budget of infrastructure, the budget for infrastructure will show an increase, of course, because as we are completing infrastructure, we start other new projects of infrastructure, and they are budgeted in a way that as they go into finish the process, a lot of invoices, of course, from the service providers or from the Department of Public Works will have to be settled. So as a result, you see that trend at the that line has got an increase on the infrastructure budget.
Chairperson, if you can allow other colleagues to talk to specific issues. The DDG, institutional governance, can talk to matters of MRM, matters of social cohesion. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I'm going to talk to, let me just interject a bit. As you address the issue of social cohesion, there has been protests and riots in different institutions of higher learning. I just want you to brief us on what was your role, because the core mandate of the department is social cohesion. What did you do to qualify us? Okay, thank you.
Maybe just to start with that one, Chairperson, what we did, we went to the various universities. We went to the University of the Free State. We went to VATS. We had public engagement with the students. We had public lectures on nation building and social cohesion. So we can provide a list. We went to various University of Venda, University of the Northwest. We went to those universities and we engaged with the students. And then we got feedback. There were issues that they raised within the institutions. So we can then provide a report to the committee on our engagement and what were the emanating issues and issues that were raised from those engagements. So we've gone to universities. But on the issue of our engagement, because we also have community conversations, you know, at that level, where we go to communities and we talk to issues of nation building. Because as a department, we need to be working with other stakeholders. I think Honorable Lamini, you are right. We work with the Department of Social Development. Because social development talks to issues of families. Because that's where things, the values, your morals, you know, you build. So they have programs around families. We do not just work with the Department of Social Development. Justice and Constitutional Development come in and talk to issues of, you know, justice, constitution, what it means, you know, and racism and so forth. Sports and recreation, because you want to build a nation. Where do we converge as a nation? In public platforms, and also mainly focus on mass participation sports. And also as the Department of Communication, because we need to be talking to good stories and other issues, so with the media. And also the other departments, labor, cooperative governance and traditional affairs, and also basic education, schools program, because we have the schools program where we go into schools. But what we are planning to do is to have a bigger program that will be driven by the young people themselves, besides other programs that we have, to do civic education and to engage young people on a regular basis, you know, deploy them to communities and to other youth formations so that they talk to those issues and we can talk to them. But because we have outcome 14 that talk to nation building and social cohesion, it's not only the Department of Arts and Culture that's driving the program, it's other departments collectively with it. What we did was to also revise the output. To say these outputs must talk to impact. It's not good to say we had so many, you know, sporting events. How do they impact to nation building and social cohesion? So we work with those various departments and on a quarterly basis we meet and the DGs meet and also the ministers meet and we provide feedback. but we said we need to work in a very bigger manner. We know we are having baby steps, but we hope for this. But with the social convention, we would be engaging various sectors of society, labor, business, media, civil society organizations, and also the various formations, even your faith-based organizations, to say, you have people in the workplace as labor. How do you make sure that you promote nation building and social cohesion? And towards the end of the year, in November, minister will be signing social compact with the sector of the society. So it will be a bigger thing. So we're hoping that we can move and make sure that we... Moral regeneration, Honorable Chair, gets about 3.5 million from that 4 million budget. But they want more, because it's got various programs. I know that the political parties now, they signed the values around elections, you know, how to conduct themselves during the elections. But they've got programs around schools, in communities, and so forth. It's not only just the panel of arts and culture that must contribute. We are planning, I think the Deputy President is planning to meet with other departments so that all these other departments can contribute to their agenda. Because what we are giving them as a Department of Arts Culture is just a portion, and they are not happy with us because they've got a lot of work and they've got provincial structures. And then they want to facilitate those provincial structures so that they can run out their programs. But now what we are just giving them is our contribution, but they want a bigger budget to be able to run some of the programs that touch on the mandate of other departments, basic education, and so forth and so forth. So around nation building and social cohesion, this is the work that we are currently doing. Thank you.
Maybe I don't know whether Monica and Matilda might want to touch on something, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to clarify on the compensation budget cuts. I think you asked the question around, are we going to be retrenching and all that. So what has happened is that as a department, as EMT, we are looking at different options as to what is it that we're going to do should really Treasury say we are cutting. Is that we need to prioritize, you know, the vacancies that we have. We do have internships that we do every year. Are we going to reduce that? Instead of saying 30, we're going to take 24. We're going to scale down on contract positions that we currently have. We're also going to look at, you know, we've got secretarial support in the department. So instead of having a PA for every director, we have one PA per chief directorate. So we are also scaling down on that. And then we've got employees who are retiring in 2 years. So we're looking at those options to say, the positions that, the vacancies that are coming up, are we going to fill them or are we going, can we do without them? So those are the options. We know already that we've got about 12 that are going to be retiring in a few years' time. So those are the areas that we're looking at and to make sure that we don't lose people, but we really, you know, rather not fill vacancies than retrench, which is something that we don't want to do. Thanks.
Thank you very much, members. With regard to the question on the provincial distribution of funds, as I think DG had pointed out, it continues to be something that we struggle with. It's true of the National Lottery Commission, it's true of NAVF, it's true of the National Art Council. We have, however, taken last year and this year some quite emphatic steps. One of the things that the panels are very concerned with is the extent to which there is equity in the provincial allocations, not just with regard to the number of projects supported, but also to the value of projects supported. It does help the Northwest if we have 100 projects each worth 10,000 rand, because that is equally contributing to the poverty of the arts and culture in the sector. The second thing is that we've restructured how we finance the regional flagships. Previously, there was disparity between the number in provinces and the value invested. So a system of parity has been created where we support a minimum of 2 per province to a maximum value of 4 million. And that has now created a far more equitable arrangement across provinces. We are currently busy with a series of road shows to promote the NGE project and opportunities in partnership with our provincial department. We've completed Limpopo and the Western Cape. There are other provinces to come, and we will certainly provide the select committee with that schedule. as the acting DG had pointed out, the NGE program is regularly reported on as part of the Technical Implementation Committee and NEC's meetings at MINEX, and certainly with the assistance of the NECs, we're doing a lot of work to promote the opportunities provided by NGE. Our provincial departments currently act as receiving points for applications on our behalf so that people don't have to post them or bring them to Pretoria, so we're very grateful for that assistance which is already provided. People bring the application to the provinces and the provinces send it on to us, but the challenge actually is a far deeper one. It's about the quantity of applications and the quality of applications received. So that continues to be a challenge that we face on a range of different levels, and we will continue to work and improve on that and continue to report progress to the Select Committee on these matters. Thank you.
One is when our next not the challenges that in any other department, but with the spirit of the new truth in the department to have the issues. We are worried about the disease of cancer, but there is nothing much that we can do in respect to the litigation, and also the fact that the EP will be the minister established. That is going to be holding forth when we are holding the issue of cancer. I hope that you will support this project and serve them to be able to do with us what they are doing. I would be happy to get the report of your region in the university so that you can have some information to refer to. And also the issue of memoranda of agreement is in development is taken in a contact. You said a contact is the agreement. Whose responsibility is it to say them to present them with education or African?
Chairperson, if I may respond, it is arts and culture. There is a framework agreement that operates between ourselves and the Department of Basic Education. However, the Department of Arts and Culture, through a series of implementing agencies based in the provinces that we've identified in collaboration with our provincial counterparts in education and arts and culture, that have a direct contractual relationship with the individual artists who are placed in schools.
Thank you.